Welcome to Education Currents, a show designed to provide current educational news and commentary from a Christian worldview. The greatest resource any community has is its children, and by providing for them the best possible education, we are providing for ourselves and future generations. Join us as we explore the latest social and political issues surrounding education. Here are your hosts, Dr. Rose Gamblin and
Dr. Richard Tooley.
Welcome. I'm Michael Gamblin, Production Manager for Education Currents, and thank you for joining us today. And let's go with part two of the interview with Chris Whittington. So without further ado, here is Dr. Richard Tooley and Chris Whittington.
We have been talking about the wonderful gifts that God gives us, and Chris has an interesting life in that he has managed a business that he owns and managed a musical career. Now, Chris, you are now coming out with your first CD?
Yes, that's right. It's actually an EP of five songs.
Okay. So tell us now, after you had gone through your life and you come to where you are now, and you said, did you just have an aha moment that says, okay, it's time, I've got to make one? Or what brought you to the point that says, I've got something here that I really want to share this way?
Was there an aha moment? Yes and no. Richard, in that that's been the desire of my heart, if you will, since I was a kid. Since I was probably 5 or 6 years old, I can remember talking to God, having these conversations with Him, listening to pop radio on my little AM transmitter radio, and wanting so badly to be an artist, a full-time artist and musician, a songwriter and singer, full-time or otherwise. I shouldn't say full-time, just an artist and a musician. I wanted to be really badly. And, fortunately, I attended some Bible studies when I was in junior high school, fell in with a bunch of Christians, and started attending Bible studies with them. I was shown how to play a couple of chords on an acoustic guitar, which really began my journey of learning to play guitar and be a musician. I started out as a worship leader, like a lot of people do. I've done that, for 30 years plus, as I mentioned earlier, and I've loved doing it. There was an aha moment, if you will, I guess you'd call it that, in that when Kemper Crabb and I were out listening to a band one evening in Houston venue in Houston, and the opening band was just fabulous and did music that was very similar to what I'd been writing for a number of years. And Kemper kind of looks over at me and says, are you crying? I said, no. He said, yes, you are. I said, no, I'm not. Yes, you are. No, you're not. So this, is kind of a Laurel and Hardy sort of give and take thing. And eventually he said, well, yes, you are. And why? I said, well, basically this band that's playing is doing music very much like mine, which Kemper knew. He was familiar with my stuff. And it's just kind of making me think about how I've enjoyed supporting you and other artists, but how much I still long to really do this for myself. And so he said, as he likes to do, And I thought that was the end of that. 2 weeks later, he calls me and says, well, I talked to Shanna, that's Kemper's wife, lovely woman. We've decided we're going to record your first solo record, which was a tremendous gift. Loaned me his studio, his fabulous engineer, Ryan Bersinger, the best in the business. And we set about recording five of the many songs that I've written over the years. These songs, which took about 12 years to write. So I guess requirement of an aha moment? Okay.
Yeah, it's kind
cool.
It is an aha moment, and it's something interesting. So you have written, you had been writing these songs, and now you're going to bring out that which you have written and show what
yes.
you've written. So
show my children, if you will.
So the writing of songs, what inspires? I sing. I'm not a
Great.
I'm not a songwriter. I'm more of a classically trained musician. But
oh, that's great.
When you go to write a song, do you just sit down one day and say, you know, I think I'm going to write me a song?
Well, you know, it has to start something like that, right? I mean, you can't start unless you start. You got to start somewhere, all those cliched things. It's really true. I mean, you know, I don't know anybody that wakes up and finds something halfway done already for them or that was extracted from their head somehow without their knowing about it. I mean, you know, you got to start somewhere, right?
Mozart.
But, well, yeah, that's true. I suppose there would be a couple of examples of that. Okay, and Mozart, I am not. So, just want to put that out there, clarify that. But now, for me, it is quite an arduous process, which it is for most everybody I know that writes songs. At least, I'm going to stick my neck out, at least writing songs that matter, that mean something. I mean, you know, there's a lot of music out there these days. Much of it not really, in my humble opinion, worth paying too much attention to. But there's a lot of music out there. So, now, I apologize to your listeners. I don't think that my songs are the greatest thing since sliced bread. I do not believe that. I don't think they are. I don't tell anybody that. I just don't think that's true. But for whatever it's worth, you know, when I say that I worked on those songs over a 12-year period, that's absolutely true. Should that impress you? Probably not. Just means I'm really slow.
But it also means that you had enough passion for what you were doing to stick to it.
That's true. And only by the grace of God, right? I mean, you know. I had some great mentorship through Kemper, Frank, and some other friends who are poets who would, you know, look at my stuff and go, wow, that's dreck. That's really full of cliches. It's derivative. You need to go back and think of some better way to write this. And they did that for me. They were friends, you know, and didn't
of
lie to me.
Those kinds of friends are good to have, aren't they?
Yes, sir. They are.
They don't feel good all the time, but they're good to have.
Right, right. I shouldn't say lie to me. I mean, you know, we all are say things. We try to be gracious with one another and not hurt each other's feelings. But fortunately, I have a handful of friends who couldn't care any less about sparing my feelings and are all too happy to tell me that's derivative dreck. You need to go back to the drawing board. So there was a lot of that.
So when you're writing songs, you have to, it seems to me, you'd have to have some reason for writing that song, something that compelled you to say, I am going to put that down on paper.
Sure, sure. Yeah, and my song, which is drawn almost directly from the book of Haggai, it's called Fill the Temple. It really is impressed with, you know, the whole nature of the gospel. I hate to be so simplistic, but I mean, it is quite simply, you know, Haggai basically later on, Jesus references very much so, I think, and he says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments, right? So, you know, you don't keep my commandments, you'll know the wrath of God. You keep them, you'll know his blessings. It's really not rocket science. It's much, much harder to do consistently, to keep his commandments, that is. It's pretty easy to sin, but it's much harder to keep his commandments and know the blessings that come from that consistently. You know, that's what we're called to do, of course, in this life, to strive to meet the standards that Jesus, you know, came and lived the only sinless life that's ever been lived, and to give us that perfect example. But that's really the essence of it. So, you know, fill the temple. It's you have sown much, but you know, have gathered little. It really is about keeping God's word and knowing his blessings as a result of it. So that really is what drove that one. One of the other songs on the record is a hymn reset. I don't know if anybody else uses that term. I call it a hymn reset, wherein I've taken this 18th, 19th century hymn, Sing with All the Saints in Glory, incredible lyrics by Mr. Irons, who wrote them many years ago. And it's commonly been sung in many, many churches over, you know, decades and decades, to Ode to Joy, which is certainly not a bad melody.
Right.
That was an understatement, right? Yeah, you get that. Yeah, it's a great tune, fabulous tune. But I felt like my church at the time asked me if I would write a piece that I found. They gave me an old hymnal and asked me if I would do a hymn reset. And I found Sing With All the Saints in Glory, basically wrote. I'll tell you a funny story. I didn't know the hymn. I had never sung it. I didn't know that it had been done for decades and decades to Ode to Joy. So I can honestly tell you that, not that it really matters, but I set about, I found these fabulous, fabulous theologically correct lyrics, just full of content, speaking of the joys of knowing the living God and pursuing life with Him, and thought, well, you know, cool, I'll write a new tune. Let's see if I can do anything with this. So, you know, I really believe that that's the point of culture, is not that we toss out the ancient. I think what a huge mistake that is.
It would move part of the history of our lives away.
You know, exactly, you know. So, to bring it, to renew it, if you will, or refresh it, perhaps, is probably a better way to say it. In this case, for me to give it a new melody and arrangement. And that's what I did with Sing With All the Saints in Glory. We're real excited about it. Hopefully some churches will pick up on it and use it. That remains to be seen. But that's really what drove the writing of that.
Well, we're going to have to break here for a moment. And when we come back, we'll talk with Chris Whittington.
You've got questions? God has answers, and they're all found in the Bible. Welcome to God's Treasure Chest. I'm Charles Mills. Let's see what's hiding in God's Word today.
Will God forgive Adam and Eve for eating the forbidden fruit?
He already has, a long, long time ago, even before Jesus created this world. Forgiveness is the most powerful element of what's called the plan of redemption. This plan, created by God, makes it possible for us to look forward to a home in heaven. It's the wonderful process of instruction, encouragement, and hope that can take us from a sinful world to a perfect earth made new. When was this plan developed? Listen to these beautiful words found in God's treasure chest. For He, God, chose us in Him, Jesus, before the creation of the world, to be holy and blameless in His sight. In Jesus, we have forgiveness of sins. Ephesians 1, 4, and 7. We all should be thanking our Creator for the forgiveness He has already freely and lovingly placed in our lives. Forgiveness is something we accept, not make happen. It's already there, waiting for us when we honestly and humbly confess our sins before God and then actively work to change our evil habits through His power.
That makes it not so scary to tell God about my sins. He's just waiting to forgive me.
If you'd like to learn more about God and His amazing treasure chest, write for your free kids-only Bible course. The address is Treasure Chest, P.O. Box 53055, Los Angeles, California, 90053. Discover the many answers waiting for you in God's treasure chest.
If you missed part of today's show, you'd like a copy for yourself or to share with a friend, then please go to our website, lifetalk.net, and click the podcast page. All of Lifetalk's live interactive talk shows are posted on our site and are free for you at any time. If you don't have an internet connection or you just want a compact disc of today's show, call 800-775-4673 with your credit card ready, because you'll be asked for a small donation to help cover our costs. Also, we'd like to hear what you thought of today's show. Please send us an email, include the title of the show on the subject line, and send that email to office@lifetalk.net. That's office@lifetalk.net.
You've been listening to Education Currents, a production of MRG Media. You know, be sure and like Education Currents on Facebook and also consider partnering with us in this educational ministry. You can share your resources or show ideas. My address is P.O. Box 413, Smithsburg, Maryland, 21783. Or call me at 301-824-3162.
Well, welcome back to Education Currents, and I'm here with Chris Whittington. And okay, so as people use your albums, people start to listen to your album, listen to these songs, what one thing would you really like them to take away?
Pardon me for the cliche, Richard, but that to know and love and pursue a relationship with the living God is indeed the most incredible adventure that any person could ever embark upon. And that's just the truth. I know you understand that well. It is the greatest privilege that can be extended any human being. And that's what I would hope people would take away from the record, that seeking to know God and to love him with all one's heart is the only thing to do and the only thing that should drive any of us and get us out of bed every morning. I am a sinner. I fall short of it constantly. But thanks be to God for his grace, his mercies, which are new every day and never ending, that he extends to me. And I get to start every day over again in his grace.
Now, as we think about this, I have to ask this question, too. And here's a little bit of a loaded one for you.
Okay.
If you could tell a young man or a young lady of, say, 14 to 15 years of age, anything about how they should conduct their life, especially through their work, etc., what would be your advice to them?
Treat others like you want to be treated. It is my credo. It's extremely simple because I'm extremely simple. I am not the shiniest coin in the bag by any stretch. I need simple things. And to me, and again, I fall short of it, but that's a standard which I have strived to uphold in my music, in my work, be it in music, worship leading, you know, songwriting, running a structural steel company, distribution company, whatever it is. Treat people like you want to be treated, and God will bless you.
There is the second of the two commandments that Jesus gave us, stated right there.
Right.
Well, we are coming to the end of our time together, and I really want to thank you for being with us. Could you tell us where, if our listeners would like to, how they could get in touch with you or how they could find out more about your album?
Well, thank you for asking, Richard. I have a website, which I just started blogging recently on. I know everybody has a blog. It's a big deal. But I started blogging recently, and my website is basically www.chriswhittington.com.
Okay. So I would urge our listeners to go to www.chriswhittington.com, and they will find out information about where they could hear your music, where they could pick up the CD.
Yes.
And then what your future is.
Yes.
What your future plans are.
Right.
So.
Right.
We won't have time to go into the future plans, but we're going to sure get them going there to see that.
Thank you for that, sir. It's been my great privilege to be with you today.
Okay, well, thank you for being with us. And I have one thing left to say. Keep learning. Here's a little sample of Chris Whittington's music.
You have been listening to Education Currents, a production of MRG Media Ministries. For more on this or to contact us, go to mrgmediaministries.com. That's all one word, mrgmediaministries.com.